Well, this is Missions Month, and we want to focus our attention and our hearts on worldwide missions and pray about what God would have us to do this month or this year as a church for the coming year. And our faith promise is always a personal decision we make as a church family, though, between us and the Lord, and it's the most important meeting of the year. And it's sort of a business meeting, really a business meeting to determine what kind of part we're going to have in reaching the world with the gospel for the rest of the year. So that makes it an important, very important meeting. And tonight, I just wanted to go through just a few things in the Bible concerning faith promise. And you probably have heard it before. Maybe, you know, we've had new people come in the church, so maybe everyone's not familiar with all about why and how we do what we do as far as our missions giving. But the first thing I want to say is that, you know, reaching all nations is a priority. And it's a priority that's given us from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just something that we've come up with that said, you know, we'd like to be involved, the flags are pretty, or we like this missionary or that missionary. But reaching every nation is a priority that Jesus Christ placed upon us, and it's His commandment, and it's His last commandment. It doesn't matter if you look at the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of John, the beginning of the book of Acts, you'll find that same commandment over and over again. And you know, whatever someone says before they leave this world is probably a pretty meaningful thing, especially if they know they're leaving. And when Jesus left the world and He said, go and teach all nations, that priority was placed upon His church to do that. And when He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that's something that it lays upon us as our priority. And when He said in Luke that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, that means we should never be satisfied until every one of those nations have heard about that repentance that they need to bring forth in their own heart to His namesake. And so we've not reached the whole world yet. And so that responsibility still lays upon us. And as the Father sent Christ, even so He sends us. And the Spirit of God, as Acts chapter 1 tells us, upon us to be witnesses unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that's what missions is about. And the Bible says, look at Romans 10 real quickly. The Bible says, how, you know, it lets me know how I can have a part in all those nations. I can only be in one place at one time. So how can I reach all the nations if I'm just in one place at one time? And the great thing about the church is that it's the body of Christ. It's a big family. And we can have a far reach together, farther than we can just reach with ourselves. And the Bible lets us know how we can do that and be involved in that great commission to every nation. I personally can be involved in that. You can be involved in that. Romans chapter 10, you know the verse in verse 13. We've often read to people telling them how they can trust Christ as their Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it said, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be what? Got to be sent. And you know, missionaries, they can't go to the mission. They can't go to every nation with a God bless you. It won't get them there. You can open the gas tank and say God bless you all you want to, and that won't get them down the road. God bless you will not buy a Bible. It won't buy a gospel tract. It won't build a church. And for them to be sent, that means that whatever they have need of, they need to be provided for. That's the way I can have a part. I'm not in France, but I can have a part there. I'm not in Greece, but I can have a part there. I can have a part by sending them and helping them be there. You know, who goes to war at their own charges, Paul says. You know, a soldier goes to war and it's all paid for. He doesn't have to pay for that. It's paid for. His gun's paid for, his outfit's, I guess, I don't know how they do that, but his food's paid for, his transportation's paid for. He didn't have to buy his bullets. I mean, it's provided. And so as the Great Commission goes, I can help send these missionaries. Well, the only part, the problem with that is a lot of people are not involved with that. They're not involved in helping send someone. And you can go to the mission field, or you can be a part of sending someone. And you can be a missionary where you are, and all of us should be. But if we're going to reach all nations, then we're going to have to put something in somebody's hand to represent us in that other nation. And that's the privilege of missions giving. And I would say this to you, that people going to hell in every nation of this world is more important than the kind of furniture I have. It's more important than the Little League. Now, all of us have lives. We all have things we're involved in. God's given us all the things He has for us to enjoy. But somewhere we need to make sure our priority is right. There are some things that are more important than others. And it is more important that somebody in India get the gospel than what kind of car I drive. It's more important. Now, it's easy to say that. It's another to live that way. And if all of God's people, if all the body of Christ would do what the Lord asks us to do and put the priority of souls above the other things in our life, even though they're okay, but just make sure that has the priority, then the needs would be met. But the need of getting the gospel to every nation is more important than your cable bill or your cell phone, and I've got a cell phone. It's more important than... What is more important than trying to keep somebody out of the lake of fire? I just, if I struggle to find that, I don't know that I could say that there's something that has a higher priority than that. Well, I need to reflect that in my heart. I need to reflect that in my decisions, because I can say that's important to me, but I prove that by making it a priority in my life and in my giving. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I commend you and rejoice that this year, this past year, has been the greatest year in missions giving in Sweet Springs history. Your faith promise. And you're to be commended for that. That's great. It's wonderful. And praise God for that. Praise God that there was an excess. Praise God we didn't have to, as many churches do every year, have to write their missionaries and say, we don't have funds to send you another check. We've not had to do that. We've been able to take on missionaries. Praise the Lord for that. But you know what? I really believe with all my heart, and I know this to be the case, we have not touched the tip of the iceberg of what God could do through us. The temptation is to say, okay, God, I've done this much for you, and I'm satisfied with that. That's the temptation. Praise God, we had the best year we've ever had. If we just do that again, then that's all we ever need to do. But you see, we've not reached all the nations yet. And there's a whole lot more folks that we need to help send to get that message out. And in Matthew chapter 6, the Bible says, Jesus talking to us, and he talks about money here, and I'll say this, you know, I don't have any hobby horses. I really don't. I don't have hobby horses. I try to ride all of them sometime or another. I don't have a hobby horse as a pastor. There's not one thing that I'm just going to preach on all the time. I mean, I'll preach on all of it and get around to it. King James Bible, amen. I preach, but I ain't going to preach all the time on that. Because the whole Bible, there's so much in the Bible that covers everything about my life and my heart. I'm not just going to ride one place. I think Christians ought to dress right. And I'll preach on that. But I'm not going to ride that all the time. Everything in the Bible is important. Every part of our life God is interested in. If he's interested in the sparrow that falls and the number of hairs that are on my head, he's interested in everything about me. And one of the things that he's interested in is my money. But he's not so much interested in my money, he's interested in my heart. But God knows this. He can't get my heart if he didn't have my money. Now, I didn't say that. And money's not a hobby horse. Matter of fact, we're not like most churches, you know. We just take up offerings on Sunday. We don't even take up offerings on Wednesday. We're not going to do that. We don't put a guilt trip on anybody to give about anything. You know, really, if somebody doesn't want to give, you're the one that's missing the blessing. But really, I mean, but here's what I'm saying. The first point I said was that reaching the world should be a priority because the Lord told me that it was a priority. But number two, what I do with my money reveals where my heart is. And Jesus said, verse 21 of Matthew 6, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, if I would have said that, or if we would have said that, we probably would have said, "Where my heart is." We'd reverse it. We'd say, "Where my heart is, that's where I put my treasure." That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Let's go find your treasure first, and then we'll know where your heart is." One of the greatest things that an old preacher ever did for me, he was preaching our church up in Virginia, and I was just getting really excited about giving to missions and, you know, getting all in, making that the priority. And that old man, how many of you know, remember Joe West? Has he preached here? Old Brother West? Man, he's way up in years now. He didn't even leave much, but that old man walked with God. He's just a little man, you know. And he had never been to our church, and he got up there, and he started walking the aisles, and he said, "I know what's important to you people." He said, "I know what you love the most." He said, "I've never met you, but I can tell you what you love the most." He said, he walked out in the auditorium. He said, "Could I see your checkbook stub, please?" And of course, he didn't do that. He didn't pay me. He said, "But you know, we know where our hearts are. All we have to look at, where does all my treasure go?" Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And that old man said this. He said, "I purposed in my life a long time ago that I wanted to get to the point." Now, you know, that's why we call it faith promise. You know, faith is something you have to grow into. The disciples told the Lord, "Increase my faith, increase our faith." But Brother West said this, I set a goal in my life that the greatest expense that I would have in every month of my life would be to help get the gospel around the world. Because he said, that's where I want my heart. Now, it takes a lot of time because a lot of people have this little problem called debt. And usually our debts are what occupy most of our treasures. So the first thing I would encourage you is to get out of debt. Now, I almost feel a little hypocritical about that because the church is going in debt for that. But I'll blame my brother on that and preach anyway, amen. And by the way, I won't nickel and dime this at all, this building, because praise God for it. And Lord, when we'll be out there and going to eat in it, amen. It looks like God will work that out for missions supper. But we're about to spend $2,500 to have this painted out here, just the painted part. If you want to jump in and say, "Hey, let's get together and do that so we don't have to add it to the loan," come up and talk to me, all right? We'll take that off the loan part. Otherwise, we'll get the painter to do it. But I said that. I'm talking about debt. It's, you know, the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. It's really hard to get your heart when you're in debt, and you've got to meet those obligations. You got to be a person of character, right? I mean, you got to pay your debts. But usually our problem is that we get in debt about things where our heart shouldn't be. And before we know it, we're under a pile of things where all of our treasure has to go. And we can get up and say, Lord, I love you, but my money's not going to it. Or we say, I love souls, I love missions, but that's not where my treasure really is. And the proof is, and I tell you what, look, when I ask you to pray about, and we really need to pray about, God, what do you want me to do for missions? It's just between you and God. What do you want me to do for missions? I tell you what, my family, we're up against it this year because this is going to be my second faith promise for the year. Because I made a faith promise to my church in Spring City in September for a year. So I'm not asking you to do anything that's not going to be a sacrifice where I'm living. Try to make two in a year. But you know, if our heart is really where it ought to be, Lord, you know, my heart's for you. And I know my heart's in other places. My heart's for my kids. If you looked at my financial record, you say, yeah, he loves his kids, you know, because there's some treasure on those kids, right? You know what else you'd say? Well, he really loves his belly. Come on now. I'm not the only one in here that's like that. I mean, what do you spend on groceries in a month? What do you spend on groceries in a month? Now, what do you spend on your faith promise in a month? You say, well, I got to eat. Yeah, we know. All of us have to eat. I'm not telling you to go without eating, but feeding the world, the gospel, and the bread of life is more important. Is it? Now, I can say that, but my treasure shows if I believe that. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Jesus said, he said, you need to be laying up for yourselves in the previous verse, treasures in heaven. And if your treasure's in heaven, guess where your heart's going to be? Going to be in heaven. And if you're investing in souls, that's where your heart's going to be. And boy, that's so much better than me putting my treasure upon earth when it's just going to go away. It's just going to pass away. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How I spend my money reveals my heart. Make it such a priority that that's where you put your treasure. And, you know, these people that get angry whenever money is mentioned in the Bible, they'll just have to take it up with the Lord. I didn't say that. He said that. And that's part of the Bible. And the reason it's part of the Bible, you know, Jesus, God doesn't care about the money. He gave the bag to Judas. It's not the money. It has nothing to do with the money. He gave it to the thief. That shows us how important money was to Jesus. Yeah, just give it to the thief. He knew he was a thief. He knew he was a devil. What do we do with the money, Jesus? Give it to the thief. Would you do that? No, that's why we got Brother Jerry, amen, Brother Morris here. We let him do it. We didn't say, all right, who's the biggest thief in the church? Let's let him. You would not do that, would you? Why? Because that money is important to you. Right? Must not have been very important to Jesus. But you know what was important to him? Judas's heart. Judas's soul. He was a friend to a thief, a friend to a devil. And one of the greatest days of your life, The greatest days of our lives is when we finally come to the realization that people's lives are more important than any amount of money that I could ever have. People are important. And Jesus said, I'm interested in what you do with it because I'm interested in your heart. I don't know who gives what here. But it'd be easy to tell whose heart's here. According to Jesus. Now, I didn't say the amount. I just said your treasure. A lot of people have a lot smaller treasures than others. We go to Acts 20. Everybody doing okay? We're trying to get our minds focused because we all have to pray, God, what do I need to do? What do you want me to do to be involved in getting the gospel to all the nations? What is my part in helping send? Acts chapter 20, the Bible, Paul says in verse 35, great familiar verse, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do we believe that? Everybody wants a blessing. I didn't have to get a blessing. Be a giver. It's a blessing to be a giver. And you know, when you're a kid, you don't believe that. There is no child on Christmas Day that gets a bigger blessing out of giving some stupid thing to dad than tearing into my present. Right? Because they're a child. Their value system's messed up. Their brain is not grown yet. Right? But you know what I found? The older I get, and I say this carefully, because I really do care. But really, I don't care what my kids give me. I mean, I appreciate the thought. But I don't just say, wow, socks. No, they give me some good gifts, and I appreciate them. But you know what? When I'm able to give them something, boy, I tell you what, I get a blessing out of it. I really get a blessing out of it. I tell you what, I get such a blessing when I can go around the world and see places where I've given so they can have a church. I can look at those Romanian faces that looked at me and said, preacher, please tell all those people in America that give that money, thank you. We didn't have a church and we didn't have a Bible. Would you please tell them thank you? I'm telling you what, it's more blessed to give than receive. The most miserable people in the world are the miserliest people in the world. And Paul says, the context here, look at verse 33 in Acts 20. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I didn't want your money. I'm not trying to get rich. He said, verse 34, yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, to them that were with me. He said, I wasn't trying to gain anything monetarily. But you need to give so that other people can hear the gospel. That's why he said over there in Philippians chapter 4, he said, look, fruit is to your account. Thank you for communicating with me as concerning giving and receiving, he said to the Philippian church, only you supported me. Only you did it. And thank you. And that's fruit to your account. It accomplished something. It was a blessing. But I wasn't after any money. You know the great thing about Missions Conference and Faith Promise? We don't get anything out of it. We don't get a fellowship hall out of it. Right? We don't get new carpet out of it. We don't get a new parking lot. We don't get nothing out of it. You know what that is? That's the Spirit of Jesus. Not what you can get out of it, but what somebody else can be benefited by. We don't do like, you know, some of these corporate churches do that take off, you know, something for the top, for the home office. And no, no. You give your faith promise, it all goes into the hand of somebody. Amen. It's getting the gospel. That's a blessing. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, the Bible says, I still don't have a handle around this, and maybe, you know, somebody that really has got a hold of it, you can help me with this. But in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, the Bible says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not what? Grudgingly. Or of what? Necessity. I'm not giving because I have to give. It bothers me, people, you know, they give their tithe. Well, I have to tithe. Man, I love to tithe. I enjoy giving to God. I don't have to do faith promises. I love to do it. It's not a grudge. It's not a necessity. It's a desire. Look at it. For God, what does he say? Loveth a cheerful giver. Well, what if you're not? You know what we've done with the Bible? We've made certain statements in the Bible or about the Bible, and it just makes things like that not mean anything. Well, preacher, God loves everybody. Right? Now, I told you I didn't have a handle on all this. But the Bible doesn't say God loves everybody in that verse. I didn't say he didn't love everybody that way. But this verse means something, brethren. God loveth a cheerful giver. So one day maybe I need to preach a message on, does God love you? Well, I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean God also loves the people that aren't cheerful givers? Think with me just a minute. There is some special place in the heart of God for a cheerful giver. Why? Look at the last verse of chapter 9. Thanks be unto God for what? His unspeakable gift. Because that's the heart of God. That's the characteristic of God. God is the great giver. And he gave cheerfully. He gave of his son. He gave more than I could ever give him. He gave so deeply. He gave so much you can't even put it into words. And he looks down and he says, man, when I see them giving so cheerfully so that somebody else can know about my son who I so freely gave, I just love that. That's what I want to be. For God to look down and say, look at that group of folks at Sweet Springs giving again to that faith promise and sacrificing and putting the priority of souls above the things in their life. Look at that. I love that. And they're happy about it. Amen. Years ago, Hernando, we used to have a hallelujah offering. You ever had that? If you put something on the plate, you had to say amen. You had to say hallelujah. You had to say glory to God. Cheerful. Instead of when the plate comes by. No, it's, woo! God said, boy, I love that. I love that. And the context here is the giving of some people that really was planned a year in advance, like a faith promise. You see, in chapter 8, he says in verse 10, this is the pattern that we find for it. Chapter 8, verse 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward. Look at it. A year ago, So they planned this a year ago. See chapter 9, verse 2? For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia and Achaia, was ready a year ago. See that? They planned this a year in advance. And God said, man, I love that. Because you know what? If you don't plan it, it don't happen. These super spiritual Christians that say, well, I don't have to give a faith promise. I'll just give as the Lord leads, just, you know, whatever Sunday. And it's strange that he doesn't lead them regularly. No, the problem is we're not that spiritual. The only regular thing we do is feed ourselves. I mean, we have a problem sometimes regularly reading our Bibles. Or do we need to take attendance of who read your Bible through this year? We have a problem with our regular prayer time. We have a problem with that regular thing. You know why? Because we have this flesh that always fights against doing anything that's spiritual. And if I just say, well, I'll just do it however I feel like when I get to church, it just, the flesh just so many times wins that battle. So he said, God said, I love what these people did. They planned a year in advance what they were going to do. And they did it. And they got that example from somebody else that did the same thing. And the example came from some people, look at chapter 8, that were deeply poor. You said, preacher, I don't have a lot to give. That's not the issue. The issue is for you to give what God wants you to give. And to give as a priority of your life. And you say, well, I don't have much. Well, then I've got good news for you for missions giving. Because the example of missions giving, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their, look at it, deep poverty. You know what that tells me? That tells me you can have joy and also have deep poverty. You know what else that tells me? That tells me you can have riches and have deep misery. These people were not just poor. They were deeply poor. That's serious. But they were so joyful. The Bible said it abounded under the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves, the Lord, and us by the will of God. These deeply poor people said, Lord Jesus, you can have me and you can have my little piddly bit of money that I got left. We're just so glad that you sent us a preacher. We're so glad that we got the gospel. We're so glad that we're saved. And if anybody else can have what we have, let them have what I've got. Amen. Amen. That's the example. And none of us will give that way this year. But that's the example. And Paul goes on to show that through verse 8, he says, or verse 9, that if you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus was the one that really became poor. And church, God's not asking you to get poor so you can give to missions. He's just asking us to have the same heart that he has. And if he could give up all that to get to another nation, then that should be my heart. And I can say that I love the Lord, but what my giving does, look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Look at it now. And to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, I'm trying to prove where your heart is. I know you guys, I know you Corinthians say you love the Lord, and I know you say you appreciate me coming and preaching and giving you a church and a and the gospel. I know you say you want other people to get the gospel, but we need to find out. We need to prove. We need you to prove your love. And I prove my love the same way God proved his love. I prove my love through giving. God so loved the world that he gave. He proved to me that he loved me. And so I need to prioritize. I need to put my treasure in the right place. And yes, I need to even plan that out a year in advance. And some people say, well, you know, I don't see all that. Well, but you know, we don't have a problem signing a mortgage or, you know, you work a job. If your boss came up to you and you said, what do I get paid? And he said, well, we'll pray about it next week. Would that work? It ain't going to work. No, you're going to say, I need a commitment if I'm going to work here. You know, guys, this is what we do. Listen, church, this is what we do. All these missionaries, however many we have, 80-some, I don't even know the number. All their names on the desk. We want to support a lot more. But you know what we do these missionaries? We don't just give them what we feel like. We make a commitment to these missionaries. We have a commitment to the men that are out of our own church, and they count on that. And we don't just say as a church, well, if we feel like it or if it's there. No, we've made a commitment to missions. But you see, it's not, you're the church. You've got to make that commitment, you see. We can't take on any more missionaries or to a certain level unless we have all together made that commitment. So they can know that our hearts for them. And I tell you what, really, the end of chapter 9, verse 15, when he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I really think that's the crux of the matter. If I have gratitude, if I really have gratitude in what God's given me, and I tell you what, God's given us a lot. You know how many places, even in greater populated areas, do not have a prayer of having a church like this? Even if they looked and drove 2 hours one way, they couldn't. I'm talking about in this country. In this country, or people in the church that would love them and pray for them and help them. And yet, around the world, there's just nothing. There's hardly nothing. And just out of sheer gratitude, Lord, thank you. I am no more important than anybody out there in that vast expanse of the globe. And God, out of sheer gratitude, what can I do? What can I give to send to someone else what I have? We have a Bible that lays there on our, we have so many of them in our house sitting there, and there are places that have nothing. Nothing. And I just think, really, if I can't get a burden for somebody that has nothing, and I've got all this, there's just something wrong with me. And I can't do more than I can do, but I can do what God asked me to do.